Welcome to the How to Buy or Sell a Business Successfully podcast. The concepts discussed in this podcast are for informational purposes only. No attorney-client relationship is intended or formed by this podcast. No legal advice is intended in the substance of this podcast. Feel free to check out our website, www.goformanlaw.com. Enjoy the show and welcome your hosts, Jake Wayman and Sam Foreman. All right, welcome back to another episode of the How to Buy and Sell a Business Successfully podcast. We're currently in a series on using SBA loans in business transactions. This is the third in that four-part series. Today, we're focusing on using SBA loans to buy out a partner or purchase ownership in a business. And so this is an area that hasn't been used a lot in the past, but there's some new rules around it that make it an increased possibility for folks. Our focus in this series is on using SBA loan programs in this context of buying a business or buying into a business or those kind of transactions. The SBA guidance in this area is hundreds of pages long and changes from time to time. So please consult with your banker or other professional advisors for more detail and stay up to date with relevant changes. This podcast is being recorded in October of 2023. And there's been some recent changes in August of 2023. So just so folks are tracking with the dates there. We'll cover a lot of practical advice and key concepts to help provide you a good starting point on your journey. But please bear in mind just the amount of depth that is in play here. This podcast is not legal advice and no attorney-client relationship is formed by this content. Also, this does not constitute any kind of loan approval or anything of that nature. Make sure that you start that process early with your bank. And just because we talk about some things, and we'll get into some fairly technical things here in this episode about what the new SBA rules will allow, just because it's allowed doesn't mean that your bank will approve it. And so make sure that you have that conversation early on with your banker to make sure that you've got a good understanding of what's going on there. So, and with that, let's do our introductions. Jill, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, I'm Jill Garcia with Emprise Bank, and I'm our SBA administrator.
Hi, I'm Ben Wren, also with Emprise Bank, business banker focusing on SBA lending and healthcare lending.
Sam Foreman at Foreman Law, and I work with a lot of folks who are buying or selling businesses or buying into or selling an interest in businesses.
And my name is Jake Wayman. My wife and I are the owners of the Orange Theory Fitness Studios here in Wichita.
All right. So, you know, in these kind of deals where someone is using an SBA loan program, to buy an interest in a business, is there kind of a cap on how much they can borrow under SBA programs?
Yeah. So generally something like this, where they're looking at purchasing some form of ownership in it, that would fall under the SBA 7A program. Mm-hmm. With the 7A, so they have a maximum loan amount of $5 million, mm-hmm. But that's just for the SBA portion of the loan. There can be additional parts. Sometimes seller financing is included in that as far as some additional bank mm-hmm. lending or different stuff like that.
Awesome.
Generally 5 million.
Okay. No, that's great. And then can they, you know, if they're working on a deal that's larger than that, they can work on with you to maybe combine that with other loan programs to, you know, figure out if there's other options beyond the 5 million.
Correct. Sometimes, a lot of times real estate will be involved in this as well. Mm-hmm. So sometimes sure. we'll be looking at the SBA 504 program. We may talk about that a little bit more later. We can use other ones as well.
No, that's terrific.
You know, I know we kind of touched on this in previous episodes, but, you know, how long can we think about this loan process to take? I know it's a little bit different because we're talking about buying out a partner or purchasing into a business. I mean, does that differ when you're looking at the process of this loan?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, I think as with a lot of these we've said, it depends on kind of what it looks like. I mean, generally, the more complex the transaction is, like, generally going to be a little bit bigger time there. I'd say like kind of a basic ballpark time frame would be 60 to 90 days. Again, kind of with the caveat that the quicker we get information, the more quickly we're able to move through our process and do it. So sometimes it can be faster. And sometimes if we don't get the information, then it can be slower and yeah. it can drag out quite a while. But
when it comes to overall timing from when somebody meets with you to when their deal actually closes, how often do you run into scenarios, whether it's with SBA loans or other loans, where somebody's buying out a partner where, you know, one of the partners is really eager to get it done and the other one, it's just not the top of their priority list?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I feel like it goes both ways on that. I mean, mm-hmm. sometimes, a lot of times when the person that's buying into the business is mm-hmm. very excited to do it, mm-hmm. Yeah. sometimes the person selling it, whether it be a portion of it, they may not be ready to or mm-hmm. be as motivated to get out of there as quickly. Right. So a lot of times we'll be waiting on receiving information from the seller that we have mm-hmm. to have to kind of to move forward with our piece. I know right. so for you as the attorney as well. Mm-hmm. And then I mean, and sometimes the borrower, I think they may have committed to the deal and say, yeah, we want to do it. I think it's an overwhelming process. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes they may get in there and look and be like, okay, this is a lot. So they may kind of pump the brakes a little bit and slow down. Sure. But yeah, I mean, generally, I think it kind of moves forward and get everybody on the same page. And that's right. kind of where communication is a big part of it.
Yeah, no, that's great. So something that could take 60 to 90 days from when they meet with you, get mm-hmm. that initial, hey, here's what I need for the application process to getting closed. That assumes that people are on kind of the same page in terms correct. Of, you know, the buyer and the seller, you know, how long, you know, their level of commitment, their level of interest in mm-hmm. in the process. And if you, you know, as a borrower in particular, run into a process where somebody is, you know, you identify that the seller isn't as committed to the mm-hmm. process as you are. That's something to just kind of, like you said, have really good communication right. about so that you have your own expectations calibrated appropriately. Cause that's something we see a lot is that mm-hmm. people get burnout in that deal process. Mm-hmm. Cause you've got somebody who's on high alert the whole right. time. They're in like go, go, go mode. And the other side's just kind of like, well, I kind of get to it yeah. when I feel like it, and that's not today.
Right. Well, and I think, I mean, I think that brings up another good point. I mean, from our end of things, I think there's a lot of times where we'll start the process with the borrower, we'll send mm-hmm. the list, and they'll be super mm-hmm. motivated. They'll mm-hmm. get us everything on their list.
Right.
And, you know, if we've got some of the seller financials, I mean, we may have everything. We may be 95% right. there within the first month of saying, hey, we've got it approved internally. Mm-hmm. We're ready to go. We need these three pieces of information that we're waiting on the other side mm-hmm. for. I know you working with like the seller's mm-hmm. attorneys a lot of times, that can definitely complicate a process, right. slow down a process. And yep. so sometimes we're just kind of playing wait and see of like, we're ready to go until mm-hmm. we receive this, give us a couple right. days to get it ready. And then we'll go from there.
Right. No, that's a great distinction that just because your bank's going to be ready doesn't mean that the process overall is going to be ready. So just having good communication, good planning on things in the process is really important. And I think in that kind of same vein, there's some really new rules here. And so especially if folks are working with banks that aren't experienced with, you know, SBA programs or that aren't part of the SBA preferred program like mm-hmm. you guys are, you know, those processes can take longer, especially as so many banks are going to be, you know, answering questions for the first time or addressing situations for the first time on some of these new rule changes. And they kind of figure out not only like, what can I do as a bank, but also like, what am I willing to do? So what does the borrower really have to bring to the table when it comes to, you know, the buyout of a partner or the purchase of an ownership interest in a business, especially when it comes to like, collateral, for example. How is the bank going to look at that? Is it really just kind of a traditional underwriting thing? They're going to look at, hey, what's the value of the ownership interest and mm-hmm. What are the value of the underlying assets? Is it kind of going through underwriting and deciding how much are we going to require in personal guarantees? Are we going to require the business to provide, you know, collateral pledges right. and things? And
yeah, I think with the collateral side, I mean, I think, mm-hmm. again, it depends on a case-by-case mm-hmm. basis. Some businesses sure. are going to have more collateral that's mm-hmm. tied into the deal. Some yeah. are not. Again, some of that getting into guarantees, like we require one full guarantor for mm-hmm. an SBA loan. Sometimes we may have to look at taking additional collateral, meaning a second mortgage mm-hmm. on a personal residence. I don't know if you've got some more to add on that.
Yeah.
Life insurance is another one too, that kind of falls in there that a lot of times we may be looking at that as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's great. I mean, especially on life insurance, if you're going to end up being a co-owner in a business, you're also going to have life insurance that you're going to want to consider for things like a buy sell, mm-hmm. like funding a buy sell and making sure that those are in place at the same time. And you may need separate policies for that because the bank's going to want to have the first right at that life insurance policy. Mm-hmm. That's part of its security in making the mm-hmm. loan. And you probably want to consider, you know, having a separate life insurance policy to fund a buy sell so that, you know, if something happens, it's not, hey, well, the bank's paid, that's great. But what about, you know, the right. other owners in the business and all that mm-hmm. stuff? Right. So in some of the new SBA rules, there's some fairly technical guidance on what is required, or at least what the minimum requirements might be on injection, and what might be permitted from a seller financing perspective to count towards some of that injection. We'll have some more detail on that posted in the show notes. So check out there for more information. Talking about personal guarantees a little bit more, I think you mentioned that on every SBA deal, there's going to have to be at least one unlimited unconditional guarantee. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. Yep.
Yes. I remembered. Yeah. And is it something where, like, when there's particularly when there's a partner buyout, how often is the bank on like an SBA loan going to look for something like the business itself to provide an additional guarantee?
So, I mean, so generally the borrower for us mm-hmm. is going to be, well, that's getting too complex. So depending on how the, like if it's an ownership percentage of it, so we would do the borrower mm-hmm. that, yeah. Sorry, I'm hearing the question yep. now correctly. Yeah, so we yep. generally we would require the operating entity, which will be the business, mm-hmm. to also guarantee the loan. Okay. So if you're buying 50% of it, mm-hmm. then you know the loan would be to you for your 50%, mm-hmm. but then would also require most likely the business to guarantee the loan as well, mm-hmm. To do it that way. Okay. And then generally, if someone's got 20% or more of ownership in the business, we'd be looking for them to guarantee it as well.
Okay. So that's, again, like thinking about this process early, because there's a lot of relationships involved there. It's not just, hey, I'm the buyer and I'm the borrower and I'm buying 25% of the business. It's also having enough, you know, forethought into the process to say, okay, what am I going to have to bring to the table? Well, if I've got to go get the business to provide a guarantee or any kind of collateral, and I've got to go get my partners to guarantee, you know, part of the loan, like those conversations need to happen very early, because what if they say no, right? Which happens sometimes. People say no to things they don't want to do. And sometimes that's one of them. And if that happens, I mean, you want to know that at the front end of the process rather than kind of getting down to the wire and, you know, right. somebody saying like, either no or yes, I'll say yes, but I want this other big thing that's important to me. So
I definitely feel like this is one of those where mm-hmm. everyone has to be all in.
Mm.
Right. Yeah. I mean, right. everyone needs to agree. Everyone wants this new partner to come in
right.
and they're all ready to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
Right. And I imagine that the sooner in the process people have that understanding, the better information they can give you so yeah. that you can figure out like, okay, if they've got existing debt to some other source on the business and the business has to provide a guarantee or the owners already have guarantees outstanding and now it's going to impact some other sort of credit or financing relationship, the longer lead time you have, I imagine, as the bank, the more you can help make those solutions work without kind of put, you know, people being in a pinch from a timing perspective or otherwise.
Yeah, absolutely. Being transparent and giving us a full picture so we can try and come up with the best solution. Yeah.
No, that's terrific. Yeah, I think, Jacob, you got the next question here.
Well, in the situation when you're either buying out a partner or you're purchasing ownership in the business, there's obviously a seller that's involved in this situation. So, you know, this is to the table. Like, what can the selling owner do after closing?
I think from a legal perspective, in terms of what they might be permitted to do under the rules, generally speaking, the seller or the selling owner could be a consultant for up to 12 months and may stay on as an owner, officer, or director, stockholder, or key employee. So somebody with decision-making authority when it's a partial ownership sale or in certain ESOP transactions. And I want to stress, because I think some folks sometimes get it confused, that employee ownership means that there's an ESOP involved, and that's often not the case. Mm-hmm. An ESOP is a very specific legal structure. And so, you know, that's again where you want to have, you know, clarity of communication with your, you know, your whole professional team about what's involved. So that's what might be permitted in those situations, but from a rules standpoint, but Jill and Ben from, you know, from the bank's perspective, is that always something that they're going to be comfortable with, is, you know, kind of a 12 month, you know, sort of consulting gig, or, you know?
I think generally that's mm-hmm. about what we're comfortable sure. with too.
Yeah. Okay.
Because I remember you've talked about, like, one of the things you focus on is, like, it's a transition of the business. Right. And you want to know that the owner, the buyer, mm-hmm. is going to be the owner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, I mean, how does that factor in with those kind of decisions, do you think?
I mean, I think a lot of times, mm-hmm. you know, the ownership, the seller, you know, it may have been their business that they started. And I mean, so I think they're very invested in seeing that the business continues to succeed and grow on. Cause I mean, that's a legacy that they're a part of. So I think with that, I think it's really good a lot of times to help with that transition with customers to see that like, hey, like this has been my business, but you know, we brought this person in as well. They want to see it continue to grow. We think we found the right person to buy it. So I think that's a big part of it. You know, sometimes it's one of those where maybe that seller has a little trouble letting go of some things. And so there may need to be
never seen a seller do that.
So there may need to be a little bit of structure there that kind of limits what capacity they're able to be involved in.
Cause that again goes back to, you know, we've talked about what the bank's going to look at is not just what do the rules permit. That's sort of like a minimum standard, but really they want to make a good loan and they want to make sure that they feel confident the loan's going to get paid. And if they don't feel confident that the business is actually going to transition to the folks that are responsible for making it work and make payments on the loan, I mean, that's going to be a big problem.
Right.
And so, I mean, especially where, as is the case with many businesses that are selling or transitioning now, you've got an aging owner who's nearing retirement and that person stays heavily involved in the business. That's an added risk factor
for
folks. Cause if something happens to them, you know, then, you know, there may not be a way to transition some of that value. And real quickly, especially with partial ownership buyouts that are now permitted under some of these rules, there's more flexibility with what the seller can do because it's not a complete transition of the relationship. But again, that's something where, you know, your bank may have different requirements.
And again, I mean, I think on that, like that's one where I think a lot of conversation needs to happen to make sure that, you know, if you're buying into a business at a 50-50 split, at a 45-50, like you want to make sure you understand, you know, what are the certain things that are laid out in that purchase agreement, because different people have different things that are more important to them. And I know, Sam, you do a good job of counseling on some of that and trying to make sure that's worked into the contract, but that can also affect things afterwards. If the seller maintains the majority rule, then that can affect kind of how the business continues to run for the near future.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's wrap up with some key takeaways. Jill, what's kind of one thing that you'd really like folks to kind of come away with from today's episode?
I think to kind of know what you want your deal structure to look like going into it. That way you can let us know, let your attorneys know. That way when we're reviewing it and we're looking at it, we can try to accommodate that request as best we can with the options that we have. So that way we can, in the end, get the same what it is that you're looking for.
No, that's great. Cause especially with so many moving pieces on some of these ownership transactions, that can give you more time, especially where there's a timeline that's important to help come up with solutions to any kind of issues that you run into.
Right.
Yeah. How about you, Ben?
So, I mean, I think moving pieces, which you just said there, I mean, there are a lot of moving pieces. So I would say flexibility is a big part of it as well. You know, you may think you know how you want it set up when you start at the beginning of it, but through learning some additional things throughout the process, like some of that may change. And so being flexible with that and kind of willing to adapt to make sure we're all moving towards the same place together.
No, I think that's great. And I think speaking of flexibility and adaptability, understanding that, you know, especially from the borrower's perspective, you know, you have a sense of urgency and understanding that the seller may not have the same sense of urgency. We run into that mismatch a lot where somebody's ready to get it done in 90 days and somebody's ready to get it done whenever they feel like it. And so be aware of that and pay attention to it because it can create a lot of friction and a lot of problems in the process. How about you, Jacob?
Yeah, for me, I mean, there's from a business ownership perspective, there are multiple ways to get the deal done. It just has to be all or nothing. There can be lots of ways to get from A to Z. And, you know, it's asking the right questions, going in with, you know, kind of with that flexibility, like Ben was mentioning, and, you know, that sense of urgency too, to kind of know that, you know, there's timing that's involved, but there's different ways to get the deal done.
No, that's great. That's great. Well, and as we try to do on each of these episodes, I want to close out with a wellness tip to really help you have a great experience with your deal. Deals can be really stressful. They can put a lot of strain on you, your team, your family, and we really want to provide practical tips that can help you have a better experience. I think one that I've seen really help folks is really pay attention to and manage personal relationships really well, especially when you're dealing with a partial or complete buyout from an ownership perspective. A lot of times those relationships need to continue in a working context through the deal process and afterwards. And sometimes you see folks really mismanage those relationships, and that creates a lot of strain both during the deal process and afterwards. But when people really take great care of people, just being good people, that can really have a positive impact on their deal process. Well, thank you folks for joining us for this episode. As we discussed, using SBA loans in the context of buying out a partner or purchasing ownership in a business. Join us on our next episode as we discuss using SBA loans in the purchase of real estate. Thank you for joining us today. For future episodes, please subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And please check out our website at www.goforemanlaw/learning.